The Sefer Names through Parsha Frameshir for Parshas Bamidbar. We'll look at the Sefer Degel Machane Ephraim by Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim, who lived from 1748 until 1800. This comes up in the Parsha, in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, as the Pasukim are delineating different camps, different tribes, how they were set up, and it says, Degel Machane Ephraim Letzivo Sam. The flag of the camp of Ephraim was according to their number. Moshe Chaim Ephraim was born in Mezhbish in 1748. He was most famously known as the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. This sefer was published in 1810, 10 years after his passing, by his son Yaakov Yechiel, and it quotes many, many, many teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. This is considered to be one of the primary sources for understanding the ideology of the Baal Shem Tov himself. After the Baal Shem Tov died in 1760, so the Degel Machane Ephraim learned under the Magid of Mezrich. He was the Rav in Mezhbish until his passing, and he's buried there next to the Baal Shem Tov. So we'll quote three teachings of the Degel Machane Ephraim, Moshe Chaim Ephraim, and all of them he references a teaching he heard from the Baal Shem Tov himself. So the first one is in Parshas Bamidbar, this week's Parsha. And this is actually the only piece found in the Degel Machane Ephraim on Parshas Bamidbar. So in the last Pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf, it references the family of Kahas. The sons of Aaron are to cover all of the vessels of the Mishkan when they're set to travel. And then the sons of Kahas will come to carry them. But they shouldn't touch those objects themselves. So Pasuk Chav says, "Velo yavoh liros kibala as hakodesh v'mesu." They, the sons of Kahas, should not come in to see when those holy vessels are being wrapped up, lest they die. They have a specific job; it's only to carry them. They're not in charge of wrapping them up. They should not be seeing that. So Degel Machane Ephraim says this is actually a remez to the following idea that the Baal Shem Tov used to say. Sometimes a person will come to be Mishamesh at Talmud Chacham, at Tzaddik, and to learn from his Maisim. We know the Gemara often even records Talmidim who would be under the bed to try to understand what the Rebbe was doing, even with Tashmish Amita. So we find often that there's an inyan for a person to follow around the Talmud Chacham, at Tzaddik, and learn from his Maisim. However, sometimes a Tzaddik is in a Bechina of Katnus, meaning, and sometimes a person won't realize that a tzaddik, what he's engaged in right now, is only because of his level. So for example, Degel Machane Ephraim writes, it once happened that a certain man was following around a big Rav, and saw the Rav drinking a coffee while wearing his talis and tefillin. So the man went back home, and he started doing that. He started drinking coffee while wearing his talis and tefillin. That's not correct. Why was the Rav doing it? So that's what the Pasuk's alluding to. Velo yavo liros. Sometimes by seeing the maisim of a tzaddik and accepting it to do it that way, it's kibbalah es hakodesh. The reason that tzaddik was doing that was because the kedusha for him was so absorbed in him, vamisu. So he was able to kill himself or lower himself, even though he was involved in kedusha. So in that example, he was involved with talis and tefillin. And normally for a regular person, it would not be appropriate to drink a coffee while doing that. But for someone of that stature, he was so engrossed, the Kedusha was so a part of him, that he was also able to lower himself at that very moment. But we ourselves cannot do that, rather only when we see the Tzaddik in his moment of godless. So that's the remez in the Pasuk, Velo yavol liros kibbalas hakodesh v'mesu. Sometimes you see a Tzaddik, you can't learn from every single aspect of his maisim, because sometimes it could be that he's lowering himself only because his elevated stature would allow him to do so. Another teaching of the Degel Machane Ephraim in Parshas Yisro, where the Pasuk by Har Sinai says, "V'chol ha'am ro'im es hakolos," that everyone heard, saw the sounds. So obviously, that's not fathomable, that a person could see sounds. So Degel Machane Ephraim says he heard the following mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. There was once a person who played a musical instrument very beautifully, with great sweetness and pleasantness, and those who heard him play were unable to control themselves because of the great sweetness and delight, to the point that they would dance immediately upon hearing such sweet sounds. Whoever was closer could draw himself nearer to hear the instrument, would even have a greater need to dance and be even more delighted. In the meantime, a deaf person came who was totally unable to hear the pleasant sounds of such musical instrument. All he saw was people dancing, and they appeared to be crazed. And he asked himself, what is the joy here? In truth, were he wise, had he understood that it was clearly because of the great delight and pleasantness of the sound of the musical instruments, he too would have danced. And the moral is obvious. This explains what it means that the people saw the sounds, meaning Hashem himself, in his most potent form, appeared to the Bnei Yisrael at once at Har Sinai, which they all perceived and they all saw with great joy. And we know the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, tells us that the Malachi Asharis, were dancing at Har Sinai upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael. So the Malachim understood that this was an amazing moment. There was a sweetness and pleasantness of the light of the Torah, and they pressed themselves to hear the sounds of the Torah. Now, the Jewish people themselves knew something was going on here. They had previously been a little bit deaf. They had not really heard these sounds. They started to hear. And then they had eyes. And they saw the joy and happiness. They saw the Malachim dancing. They understood that these sounds were the pleasant sounds of Torah. But even though they did not really appreciate fully the pleasantness of Torah at that moment, again, they never got the Torah yet. They didn't practice the Torah yet. So they weren't really able to comprehend what was going on. They understood by the way of the joy that the Malachim were dancing with, that surely this was because of the great pleasantness of the Torah. And therefore they pushed themselves to hear the sounds themselves in order to perhaps gain a little bit more of an understanding. But v'ro'im es ha'kolos, when these sounds came forth, all they could really do is see, perceive the atmosphere, and glean from that the chashivos of the Torah itself. And finally, I saw in Rav Baruch Simon, Sefer Imre Baruch, in Parshas Bechukosai, very interesting idea with respect to the concept of Masikos HaTorah, sweetness of Torah. Because we know Rashi, on the phrase in Bechukosai Seilechu, says, Shetiu Amelim BaTorah, that a person should really dig deep and involve himself with toil in Torah. So the question is, we have a pasuk in the Torah which says, Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. As a praise to the Jewish people, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. That I don't see any toil in Yisrael. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wonders, how could this be? Is amilus a virtue, or is it something we're looking to avoid? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, for tzaddikim, clearly they put in the amelos, but it doesn't feel like amelos. You know, they say, if you're doing a job that you love, it doesn't feel like a job. So, they only feel the sweetness. So yes, we have to be amelim b'Torah, but the goal is, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. It shouldn't feel like toil. It should feel so natural, we should feel the sweetness. And that's why the pasuk in Devarim says, v'samachta b'chol hatov. And the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hei says, "Ein tov ela Torah," that if a person can enjoy the sweetness of Torah, it can gladden him to the point where he just purely does it with simcha without any feeling of amelus. And in fact, the Eglei Tal in his Adama says, people think that if I'm enjoying my Torah, if I'm feeling like my learning is so sweet, it must be I'm not doing it right. It must be it's not lishma. But that's not correct. That the highest level of learning is learning when one is getting and enjoying the sweetness of Torah. So, Rav Simon points out that the Psukim in Parsha Shmos, in Sefer Shmos rather, say that the Bnei Yisrael went 3 days in the Midbar without water. They came to a place called Marah, but they couldn't drink the waters, ki marim heim, because they were bitter. So what's going on here? So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef says that we know in Mayim al Torah, water's Torah. So what it means that they were in the Midbar for 3 days without water, it means they didn't have Torah for 3 days. Which, by the way, is why we lean on Monday and Thursday and Shabbos to make sure that we have Torah at least once every 3 days. And at that point, when they've gone 3 days without Torah, then the Torah itself became bitter. And the same way a person who doesn't take care of himself can become physically sick, if a person doesn't constantly learn Torah, the Torah can feel very distant for him. The Torah is sweet, but we who consume it can sometimes taste it like it's bitter, and that it requires too much amelus, and that we're not really enjoying it. But that's because we're not involved in it constantly. If someone engages with the Torah properly, it's the sweetest thing. And based on this, the Degel Machane Ephraim in Parshas B'Shalach explains, based on the Baal Shem Tov, that this explains the Gemara Nedarim, on Daf Pe Aleph, which says that Yerushalayim was only destroyed al shelo berchu b'Torah tchila, because the Jewish people did not make a berchas haTorah before they learned. And many explain, this means they didn't say the bracha of the Harevna. The bracha of the Harevna is the bracha that we daven to Hashem, that it's true, there are times when Torah feels hard, it feels distant from us, perhaps it even feels bitter, and not only do we have to constantly engage in it in order to feel that sweetness, but we also have to daven to Hashem that He should allow the Torah to be sweet within us. If we don't daven for it, it could be that we'll find it to be bitter. And that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed, because the Jews didn't appreciate, they didn't want to connect with the sweetness of the Torah. And our goal in making the bracha of Aharevna is to daven to Hashem that the Torah, which we know is sweet, but sometimes we need to peel back the layers to uncover it, engage in it constantly, and ultimately Hashem should allow us to appreciate that sweetness, that little nectar that we can enjoy, which is the Torah itself. So that's a little bit about Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim, Degel Machane Ephraim, and several pshatim that he's given in the name of his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov.